I want to ask you to open your Bible once again this evening to the book of the Revelation, chapter 17. While you're doing that, I'll say that it is good to see you this evening once again in the house of the Lord. He's been good to us, allowed us another opportunity to meet together this evening. At this time, I want to read once again Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. That's reading once again verses 1 through 7 of Revelation 17. I'd like to have each head bowed, please, and each eye closed. And once again, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother John Grant if he'll lead us at this time.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord, to allow us to be in our house. Father, we know as we said before, we just pray for our hearts and minds. See these, Lord, if we understand the message of Brother Wayne very forth. Father, we pray for Brother Wayne to bring the message that he needs to say. Lord, most of all, help us understand that we can understand the precious word.
Amen. At this time, we want to teach the next part of the series entitled The False World Church. Here in Revelation 17 is set before us the false or apostate world church that will be a reality and be in full power for the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. Here in Revelation 17 is the false world church headed up under Rome. Now someone may say, Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. In the weeks prior, we stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon, as is recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. This we have already done. We have traced Babylonianism through the Scriptures till we come back here to Revelation 17. And in the weeks prior, we have already begun dealing with these particular verses. As we begin dealing with this chapter, we stated that it can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, the system is exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then in verses 16 through 18, the system is extinguished. Not only that, but we have stated from week to week that here in verse number 1, we have the key verse of this chapter. The key verse of a chapter tells us the theme or the subject of a particular chapter. And here we find that verse number 1 tells us that the theme or the subject of this chapter is the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The theme or the subject of this chapter is the judgment of this false world church, the judgment of this religious harlot that is set forth here in this particular chapter. Now, in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verses 1 through 5, and we've also begun dealing with verse number 6. In the weeks prior, we've already dealt with the saints that is mentioned here in verse number 6. And then last week, we begin dealing with the blood that John speaks of here in this particular verse. Next week, verse number 6 once again. Hear the word of God says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Here we find that John speaks about the blood of the saints of God. Now, verse number 6 is primarily having reference to those saints that will die a martyr. Those saints that will be put to death. Those saints that will be killed. Those saints that will seal their testimony with their own blood during the tribulation period. During the tribulation period. And the saints that's referred to here in this verse, as we made very clear in the weeks prior, is not having reference to church saints. But this is having reference to individuals that will be saved following the rapture of the true church. Now here John speaks about the blood of the saints. Here he sees this woman, this whore, this religious harlot, killing the saints of God. Here we find that here he sees her drunken with the blood of the saints. Here he sees this woman reveling or celebrating or delighting in the blood of the saints of God. Now last week I stated that wherever and whenever you find Babylonianism, the saints of God have always encountered persecution. Wherever and whenever you find Babylonianism, the saints of God has always suffered. Babylonianism has always sought to put to death the saints of God. Babylonianism is always taking a sadistic joy in pouring out the blood of the saints of God. Now, Romanism is just another form of Babylonianism. And my friend, since we realize the fact that Babylonianism has always sought to put to death the saints of God, it shouldn't surprise us then to find that Romanism has always sought to put to death the saints of God. Now, I dealt some with this last week. Last week, I referred to an event that took place in the past that has been referred to as the massacre of Saint Bartholomew. This massacre, my friend, took place some years ago. It was planned. It was carefully planned out. And my friend, during the first 3 days of this massacre, 10,000 Christians were put to death. During the first 30 days, 60,000 Christians in France alone was put to death. And during this time, 100,000 Christians were put to death in what has been referred to as the massacre of St. Bartholomew. As I said last week, after this took place, the Roman Catholic Church appointed meetings of thanksgiving and struck medals in commemoration of what had taken place. And the Pope himself publicly thanked God for that which had taken place. During that time, as I said, they went into Christians' houses, the houses of their homes, and found them in the dead at night, and they cut off their heads and their arms and their noses and threw them out the window into the street below.
this all is involved in what is referred to as the massacre of Saint Bartholomew. Not only that, but I stated a little bit about the Dark Ages last week. It was during the Dark Ages, that the Roman Catholic Church ruled supreme. And it was during this time, my friend, that she put to death millions, yea, millions of the saints of God. It was during this time that the Roman Catholic Church devised hellish cruelties. It was during this time that they devised and invented devilish instruments in which to use to put Christians to death. It was during this time that Christians suffered from the hands of Roman Catholic priests. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about an article I read some time back. They brought this Christian man out, and they were going to burn him at the stake. They tied him to the stake, but before they lit the fire, the Roman Catholic priest stood just a little ways over from there on a high platform, and he preached. And he preached from the first two verses found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read those two verses. Here the Lord God says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with a hot iron." He used those two verses. And he applied those two verses to that individual that they had tied to the stake that was about to be burned. And my friend, after he finished the message, he said to the man who was tied at the stake, he said, "Have you got anything else to say?" He said, "Do you want to recant and receive the forgiveness of the church?" That being the forgiveness of the Roman Catholic Church. The man that was tied to the stake said, "My only request is that that you would read the next verse that's found in that chapter." The old priest looked at the next verse found in that chapter, and he wouldn't read it. The verse says this: Forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." The priest wouldn't read it because it condemns him. And he closed the Bible, and he threw it on the pile of wood, and it was burnt along with the man that was tied at the stake. And my friend, this scene was repeated over and over and over and over again during the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholic Church ruled supreme. It was during that time that women who had been saved by the grace of God, women were stripped naked before black masked judges. It was during that time that women and men that had been saved by the grace of God, they were taken and they were flayed alive. They were placed on the wheel. They were placed on the rack. And they were stretched. They were stretched till their limbs snapped. And the flesh, the tender flesh, was torn into shreds. Christians were taken and their tongues was plucked forth from the roots. Their tongues was cut out. Hot lead was poured into their ears. Water was allowed to run on their head till it bore to the blade. My friend, their eyes were gouged out. Their limbs were cut off one at a time. Now a hand and then an arm. First a leg and then another. Until there was nothing left but a mere quivering, though living, trunk. This scene was repeated over and over and over again. During that time, one of the things that always sticks in my mind, during that time, bags were taken and crammed down the throat of Christians. And those bags were filled with water slowly, so that the individual would agonize with a slow, calculated strangulation. During that time, men and women was burned alive at the stake. Green wood was used. Green wood so that it wouldn't burn too fast. And so that the torture and the agony would be prolonged. And when green wood couldn't be found, we find that the wood was dampened so it would burn slower. And I was reading about an account the other day where they lit the wood and let it take off. And they let it burn half of the man's body. They let it burn his legs to a crisp. And then they put the far out and let him stay there in agony and suffer for a while in that condition. And then after they'd had their fun, they set the wood afar again and burnt the rest of him. My friend, this is a little bit of what took place during what's called the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. We find that after the Inquisition, people took torches and went down into the dungeons. Went down into the dungeons. And that was the dungeons that was underground, that was actually caverns or caves, and they used to be dungeons, and there in the dark. Now let me say this, it was during the Dark Ages, that a lot of Christians was taken from their homes in the nighttime. It was during the nighttime, they was taken out of their prison cells during the nighttime. And they were taken out and led beside the river and strangled and thrown into the river. They did it at night. They did it at night to keep other people in the town from finding out about it. You see, my friend, they feared the people. That reminds me of that crowd in Matthew chapter number 26 that was afraid to take the Lord Jesus on the feast day because of the uproar of the people. They feared the people. They went down in these dungeons, and there in the dark they found human beings chained to the walls. There they found them naked. There they found them with long matted hair. There they found them with nails like bird claws. Some of them that went crazy. When they brought some of them out into the light, they went crazy. There was a lot that took place in the dark at that time. I was thinking today. There was a lot that took place in the dark. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows all about it. God knows all about it, and God is a just God, and God is a righteous God. It certainly is. Now, there may be some people here tonight that says, "Preacher, I've never heard what you're talking about. I've never heard that before." That wouldn't be very surprising to me, really.
Right.
It really wouldn't. My friend, what we're speaking about tonight is not a popular subject to deal with today.
Yeah. Right.
What we're dealing with tonight is not something you hear preached about a lot. What we're dealing with tonight is not something you hear taught a lot in this day that we're living. Because it does not make me popular with the crowd. If you want to read about these things, I would advise you to buy the book that's entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you can read about some of these things in that book. Fox's Book of Martyrs. And let me say this, there is no school teacher in the United States of America that's allowed to teach that book as history. That book years ago was banned. It is not allowed to be taught as history. And there's no doubt in my mind that behind that ban or that law was the working of the Roman Catholic Church. My friend, I'm talking about the organization tonight, the same organization that is advancing with strides in this country.
Right. Amen.
You listening? I'm talking about the same organization that is increasing with leaps and bounds in this country.
Amen.
I'm talking about the same crowd that is increasing, that is advancing, that is growing by leaps and bounds, that is gaining ground, that is gaining power right here in the United States of America.
That's right.
Here in the United States of America, approximately 150 years ago, there were only 33 priests. Look at it today. there was less than 50,000 Catholics. Look at it today. There was scarcely a decent church building. Look at it today. There was only one college and no schools. Look at it today. My friend, I'm talking about the same organization that is advancing here in the United States of America. There used to be a time when for an individual to be a Roman Catholic, that was enough to ostracize him from family and friends. And he was treated like a religious leper. But my friend, that is just not so today.
That's right.
That's just not so today. And I'm reminded of the fact tonight that there came a time right here in the United States of America that the people of this land put a Roman Catholic into the highest political office in this nation. And that tells you and I something about the spiritual condition of this country, and that was more than 20 years ago.
Right.
Certainly. Certainly. Now, let's look at verse number 7, found in Revelation chapter number 17. Look at verse number, let's read verse number 6 again, then I'll read verse 7 with it as well. Here the Word of God says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her," notice this carefully now, John says, "and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Look at verse 7. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel?" Now here's what I want to point out. When John the Beloved seen this woman, when he seen this whore, he says that he marveled. The Word of God tells us that he wondered with great admiration. Why did he? Why did John the Beloved wonder with great admiration? Why did John the Beloved marvel? Why did he? Now in dealing with this question, I want to say this. The Roman Catholic Church will tell you herself that Rome is identified here in Revelation 17. Now I want you to listen carefully. The Roman Catholic Church will tell you that Rome is involved here in Revelation 17. They will tell you that Rome is identified here in this chapter. But the Roman Catholic Church will tell you that Papal Rome is not dealt with here, but pagan Rome is dealt with. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Pagan Rome has reference to the pagan Roman Empire. Papal Rome has reference to the Roman Catholic Church, or the Papal Church. And the Roman Catholic Church, my friend, today will tell you that Rome is involved here in Revelation 17, but it's not Papal Rome, it's not the Roman Catholic Church that's involved, but it's the pagan Roman Empire. That's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Now listen. The book of the Revelation was written somewhere between AD 95 or 96 and the turn of the first century. Let me say that again. And I'm going slow right now so this will be very clear. The book of the Revelation was written sometime between AD 95 or 96 and the turn of the first century. Now, the Roman Catholic Church comes along today, and that church will tell you that the book of the Revelation was written in AD 68. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference. Why would the Roman Catholic Church tell you that it was written at an earlier date, that being A.D. 68? Why? My friend, the book of the Revelation was written during the reign of Domitian. Domitian was a Roman emperor. And my friend, it was Domitian that had John the Beloved placed in a drum or a barrel of boiling oil. He had John the Beloved placed in that barrel, and it didn't kill him. So Domitian, the Roman emperor, had John banished to the Isle of Patmos. And while on the Isle of Patmos, God used John the Beloved to pin down the words that we find in the book of the Revelation. The Roman emperor Domitian was in power when John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Domitian was assassinated in A.D. 96, and shortly after he was assassinated, John was released from the Isle of Patmos. But the Roman Catholic Church would tell you that the book of the Revelation was written earlier in A.D. 68 while Nero was the emperor. Nero. Now you say, Preacher, why do they teach that it was written in an earlier day? They teach that it was written in A.D. 68. And then they go one step further and they tell you that what John is speaking about here in Revelation 17 was fulfilled by the pagan Roman Empire in 70 A.D. Translation? It was in 70 A.D. that the Roman general Titus rode into Jerusalem and come against Jerusalem, and millions upon millions of Jews were put to death. It was during that time that he sieged Jerusalem, and 500 Jews per day was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem by Titus, the Roman general. That's what happened in 70 A.D. And the Roman Catholic Church will tell you that what John speaks of here is having reference to what took place in 70 A.D. My friend, that's not so. That's not true. What John speaks of here in Revelation chapter 17 is still ahead in the future. Why did John marvel? If John had understood this to mean the pagan Roman Empire, he would not have marveled. Because John already knew that the pagan Roman Empire was an enemy of Christians. If John had understood this to be referring to the pagan Roman Empire, he would not have marveled. He already knew that the pagan Roman Empire was doing everything he could to put Christians to death. That was no surprise to John. But my friend John here wondered with great admiration. John marveled. Because here he saw one professing to be the one true church, and at the same time putting Christians to death. He marveled. John saw one professing to be the strong guardian of the truth, and at the same time putting Christians to death. And he marveled. He marveled. Now listen, my friend. Revelation chapter number 17 is one of the reasons why that the Roman Catholic Church is afraid of the Bible. The Roman Catholic Church down through the years has always made it very clear that she is afraid of the Bible. And no doubt this chapter is one of the reasons. Many years ago, in the year 1229, there was a Roman Catholic council held in Spain, and it was at that time that the Bible was put on a list of forbidden books. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that there are certain books that Roman Catholics are not to read. In the Council of Trent, some years later, that decree was confirmed. And my friend, let me say, even to this very day, a member of the Roman Catholic Church is not allowed to read the 1611 authorized King James. A member of the Roman Catholic Church is not allowed to read the 1611 authorized King James. I say again, Rome is afraid of the Bible. The psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light reveals, light exposes. And it exposes that crowd for what it is. That organization for what it is. Therefore, she's always been afraid of the Bible. She's killed people in cold blood just for daring to read the Word of God. You know, I was thinking this evening. About the millions of Christians that's been put to death in the past just because they love the Lord Jesus Christ and assembled themselves together.
Yeah, amen.
What a privilege we have this evening of being able to meet together here in God's house. And many people that profess to be saved never darken the door.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Isn't that something? I was thinking this evening of the privilege that we have to have the precious Word of God and hold it. I can hold it in my hands here tonight. And my friend, we are privileged to have it in our homes. In our homes. And hold it in our hands. And I was thinking of how little time we spend with it.
Right.
I was reading an article some time ago about a man who was instrumental. A man who was very instrumental in seeing to it that the Word of God was printed in the English language. And you know, the Roman Catholic Church, after that man died, that man was hated so bad by the Roman Catholic Church that they dug up his body, and they burned his bones and throwed the ashes in the wind. They hated him. I can tell you tonight about accounts in foreign lands of Roman Catholics burning Bibles. I can tell you tonight about accounts right here in the United States of America of Roman Catholics burning Bibles. And they burned them right in the public until there was a law passed that you couldn't do that anymore. Rome is afraid of the Bible. And no doubt Revelation 17 is one of the reasons why she has tried to keep the Bible out of the hands of the people. And my friend, Revelation chapter 17 is one of the reasons why some so-called Bible teachers today do not teach from the book of the Revelation. There's many so-called preachers today that will not preach from Revelation 17. It's not because they don't know it's in the Bible. They know it's in the Bible. And it's not because that they don't understand what's being spoken of to a certain degree.
That's
not the problem. You see, the problem's not with the passage, but the problem is with the person. The person don't like the passage, and they don't know what to do with it. The person don't like what's being said in the passage, and they don't know how to get rid of it. That's the problem. And let me say this right here. which might be a help to you in days to come. A false teacher or a false preacher many times is detected by what they do not preach and do not teach. You hear what I said? A false teacher is found out and detected many times by what he does not teach. A false preacher is detected many times by what he does not preach. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter number 20. In Acts chapter number 20, verse number 20, Paul said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you."
Yeah.
Chapter 20, verse number 27, Paul said, "For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God." My friend, you and I had better back off from an individual when they do not declare the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
A man will preach what he believes. If a man don't preach on the second coming of Jesus Christ, you can mark it down, he don't believe it.
Right.
If a man don't preach on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, you mark it down, he don't believe it. A man will preach what he believes. That's right. That's right. That's as far as we're going this evening with the series entitled The False World Church. The next time the Lord allows us to meet together, if He does, we'll deal further concerning this matter.